So in the Sefer Mitzvahs, the Rambam, in his Shurashim, he goes through rules about how to decide what yes to count, what not to count in the Minyan of Mitzvahs. One of the Shurashim the Rambam writes is that we only count in the Tariq Mitzvahs a mitzvah that's Neheges L'Deiris. So for example, Rambam says you have a mitzvah in the Torah to put blood on the doorposts and on the mashkeif on Erev Pesach, on Leil Pesach. It doesn't count in the Minyan of Mitzvahs, even though it's a mitzvah, but it's only a mitzvah for one time, right? And then the Rambam gives another example from that same night. There was a loisas al yetsa yishmi pesach beisai ad boiker, but it's not a hegis l'deiris. You have mitzvahs that were given about the mun, not to leave it overnight. Mitzvahs by Har Sinai, not to go up onto the mountain. All of these, the Rambam says, are mitzvahs that are not a hegis l'deiris, and so they don't count in the minyan of mitzvahs. Now, the Rambam says that the people before him, his predecessors, that counted the Targum Mitzvahs, they also were smart enough not to count the Mitzvahs about Pesach Mitzrayim and the Mitzvahs about the Mon and the Mitzvahs about Matan Torah. But for some reason, they counted what we find in Parshas Kisavai, the Brachas Uklolos Bahar Griz and Bahar Eval, which was a mitzvah that 6 Shvatim should go up onto Har Grizim, and 6 Shvatim should go up onto Har Ebal, and the Levim should stand in the middle, turn to Har Grizim and say, Baruch Asher, Yaakov is the Rea Teira, Zayis, Baruch Asher, Lo Yasik Voreyeu, Lo Yakareyeu, Besasar. And then they by Ivan Kolam Amen. And then they turn to the Har Ebal and they say, Arur Asher, Asher, Ivan Kolam Amen. That whole ceremony in the Bahag, the Alach Gedeleis, and Rav Sadi going, they count that in their Minyan Mitzvahs. Like the Rambam, it's a mitzvah that's not in a Hegis L'Deiris. Why do you count that any more than you count Al Yehur Su Al Har Lirais, which was just a one time in history? This is also a one time in history. The Rebbe Shlom said that when you go into Eretz Yisrael, you can come to Har Grizim and Har Eval, you're going to perform this ceremony, and once it's performed, it's over. We don't do it annually, we don't do it every 7 years, it was a one-time mitzvah. So the Rambam says that it was wrong to count that, and he disagrees with those that did. Now, the Ramban, in his Hasagos on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, he's always coming to defend the Bahag. That was really the whole purpose of the Ramban's Hasagos on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So Ramban says that maybe the Bahag differentiated between a mitzvah that was a one-time mitzvah and its whole effect was for that moment versus a mitzvah where the ceremony was only performed one time but the effect was for deiros. The brachas uklolos were for deiros. It was only said once. But the fact that one who does this is Baruch and one who does that is Arur, and that was delivered at Har Grizim and Har Eval, that effect is the day race.
What do they count as the mitzvah?
It says Brachas Uklolos. I think the Lashon in Rav Sadia Gaon is Brachas Uklolos by Har Grizim and Har Eval.
But I'm trying to say,
what is
the mitzvah in Har Eval?
So in the simple reading, the way the Rambam understood it, the mitzvah is to perform the ceremony. They meant the ceremony. You mean whose mitzvah is it?
Because those mitzvahs carried forward. Everything there is carried forward forever.
Right.
So what I'm asking is what are they isolating as the mitzvah compared to what what was said over there?
Because everything it upon yourself.
You mean in the Ramban's Teretz when he says there is something that lasts the day?
What was the mitzvah?
So it sounds like he's saying there's a mitzvah to for 6 Shvat to stand here and 6 Shvat to stand there, and for the Levim to perform this recital. The ceremony was the whole.
Right. Could it be the accepting it about themselves, like Vonokal doing the Kabbalah yourself?
That's what I'm saying. The Kabbalah is saying this forever.
Maybe. So that's really the Ramban's answer. That even though they only said Amen once,
right,
or 12 times, but they only said it one day. They said Amen then. We don't say Amen l'deiros. If you want to say that's the mitzvah, the saying Amen, that was also only done once. But Zok the Ramban, but since that Kabbalah is Nimshach l'deiros, so Ramban says maybe that's why. The Ramban says, don't get me wrong, I'm not on his side. He says, really, I think the Rambam's right. I wouldn't call this a mitzvah that's Neheges l'deiros. But so as not to make, you know, make the Bahag out into, you know, as if he did something foolish or inconsistent, because he agrees that you don't count the mitzvah, it's not in the Hekel Sederis. Why did he think this should count more than the others? Maybe because it the Inyan is Nimshach L'Deiris. But the Ramban says, I say this as an excuse for the Bahag, but I still think that it's more correct not to count it. So that was the discussion about this in the times of the Rishonim. You had some of the early, you know, the Bahag is back in the 700s, is really pre-Rishonim. The Bahag, Rav Sadia going, they counted it. The Rambam says, terrible idea. And even the Ramban says, you know, I don't love it. It's not such a good idea, but I see where he's coming from. Now, fast forward a few, many centuries. The discussion about the Minyan HaMitzvahs was really primarily a discussion that was conducted by the Rishonim. The Rambam and the Ramban very much were into it. The Tashbetz also wrote a sefer on it. And then it really got much less attention for many centuries until Rav Yochum Fishel Perlau, who was one of the Gedolei Hador in the late 18, early 1900s, if I'm not mistaken, a Hungarian Goyin. And he wrote a sefer, a tremendous sefer, like a real epic work on the Minyan HaMitzvahs. It's primarily on Rav Sadia Goyin. He wrote it as a pirush on the Minyan HaMitzvahs of Rav Sadia Goyin, but he does a very thorough treatment over there about all matters related to Minyan HaMitzvahs. And over there, he revisits this issue about Bracha to Klalis, that the earlier Minyan HaMitzvahs counted it, and the Rambam, and really even the Ramban, seem to think that it's inappropriate because it's not really mitzvahs in the Hegel Sederis. And Rav Yochum Fishel Perlau said that I think that they maybe didn't really understand what the Bahag and Rav Sadia Goyin meant when they said, when they listed on their minyan of Taryag Mitzvahs, Brachos Uklalos, Shebahar Rizim, Shebahar Eval, they didn't mean the ceremony at all. They didn't mean the ceremony, and they didn't mean the Kabbalah of the ceremony. They meant something entirely different. There's a Gemara in Sota Daf Lamed Zayin, a fascinating Gemara. It's really, it's a very geshmak Gemara. The Gemara is talking about how every mitzvah, you know, when you look at a mitzvah, you think that a mitzvah is just one little mitzvah. You know, when I do a mitzvah, I'm just doing one little thing. You should realize that every mitzvah is compounded and multiplied many, 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 many fold. Why? Well, because first of all, every mitzvah was placed into a bris, a covenant, with a baruch and with an aror. That's what happened at Hagrizim and Harayval, that they were given a baruch and an aror. So that's two. So every mitzvah, they were makabel a bris with a baruch and an aror, so there's a double bris on every mitzvah. Now, every baruch and aror was said beklolus and bepratus, because in the aror, the aror, which are the ones that's what's written out in the Torah, there's Arur Masigvoriyeu, Arur Makriyeu Basasar, Arur Sheikhim Chesanta. There's a bunch of specifics that have an Arur. And then the last Arur is Arur Ashalayokum is Divrei HaTorah HaZayis. And that's a Klolus Dika Arur. So so the Bris was given with Baruch and with Arur, and it was given B'Klal and B'Prat. So there are two ways that it got doubled, and two times two is four. So there's a quadruple bris on every mitzvah. Then the Gemara goes on. He says a quadruple bris for every mitzvah. But what's our responsibilities for the mitzvahs? To just do them? It's not enough just to do the mitzvah. The Torah talks about ulamadetem oisam ushmartam la'asaisam. So that means you have to learn the mitzvah, guard the mitzvah, and perform the mitzvah. And there's another pasuk that says, "V'limadatem oisam espanechem." You also have to teach the mitzvah. So the Gemara phrases that as a little more lame lishmar v'lasais. So there's four responsibilities for each mitzvah, and if there's a quadruple bris on each of these four responsibilities, so the Gemara says, get out the multiplication tables. That's 4 times 4. That's 16. So there's a 16-fold bris that was secured, that was sealed on every mitzvah. That was at Har Gibbon and Har Eval. And then there's a pasuk that connects the bris of Har Gizim and Har Ebal to the bris that took place at Har Sinai, and also to the bris that took place in Arvis Mayav. So then you take this 16 and you multiply it by 3, and you come to 48. So there's really a 48 fold bris on every mitzvah. So again, the Gemara is dramatizing the degree of responsibility that we have towards the mitzvahs, and we started with one, we multiplied and multiplied and multiplied 48 times. And then the Gemara continues. Another time, I think, begins to speak. I think Reb Shimon ben Pazi, B'shem Reb Shimon, says, don't stop at 48. Because there's, I have a 48-fold responsibility to each mitzvah, but it's not a responsibility just that I keep that mitzvah. It's also a responsibility that my chaverim keep that mitzvah because of arvus, that I'm already for everybody else. So what's the, how strong, how thick is the covenant that I have to each mitzvah? 48 times 600,000. 600,000, really, the Gemara speaks at 600,000 and 3,550. That's the actual number of Yidden and Chaisel. We usually summarize that as 600,000. So it's really 48 times 600,000. And then Rebbe, he gets the last word. He says, you know, I would say to, or Shimon said, that it's 48 times 600,000, that it's really 48 times 600,000 squared. That's what Rebbe says. Why? Why 600,000 squared? Because I have responsibility to help my chaver keep the mitzvahs. My chaver has 600,000 responsibilities because he's responsible for everybody. I'm responsible for his responsibility for everybody. And the Gemara says, you know what, but the Tanakhama of Rebbe that left out the square symbol, that's because he held Arva Isle, Arva the Arva Lesle. He didn't agree with that extra step, that there's Arvas on the Arvas.
What about women?
What?
600,000 were the men.
True.
So women.
Oh, that's a nice aura, that this Gemara might be suggestive of the idea. You know, there is such a shame, I don't think we're going to get to it in today's shir, but there is, you know, we're going to talk now about Arvas. I don't know if we'll get to that, but there is a Yesh Oimrim that Arvas does not extend to women, and what you just said might be a nice diak to support that. The Yad Yehuda claims it's a Shitas HaRosh, Rabbi Kivager says it's not really what the Rosh meant.
But according to Rebbe, which is the square, I mean, Ela Dovosov, because
he means the one, and then another 600,000 also. I hear. I'm not sure why you would stop there.
It's Ela Dovosov.
Right, because then. Okay. But okay, but even leaving out Rebbe, right? Because the Gemara said that last one is debatable, you know, the Arva and the Arva, the Arva. But Al Kapana, but coming back to Rechem for Shapurlau, he said, you know, what that Gemara is telling us is that the bris that we were makabel at Hargizman Haraval was Machayev us in Arvas. And that is a very relevant halacha. And that's not something that was only Negeya in Hargizman Haraval. That's halacha lamaisa. There's an idea of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh, and it has Nafkaminas Halacha Lamaisa. That's why they counted in the Tariq Mitzvahs.
So a basis for Kiruv today, right?
Yeah, it's a very big part of the basis for Kiruv.
Why is there from Hargriz Mariel?
Because of this conclusion that Rav Shimon says that it's times 600,000.
But why specifically Arevis from that rather than from where it says that
the bris,
Kol Yisrael Arevim.
We used to say that.
We don't. You mean that doesn't exist as a?
It's not a pasuk.
It's a song.
there is a drasha that the Gemara makes. The Gemara in Sanhedrin makes a drasha from a pasuk in the Teichach of Chashlu Ishba Avoin Achiv Bezman Sheish Biyadi Limchayz Veinei Maicha. And the Gemara says Mikan Shekol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh.
Where's the origin in Harakiris and Arevil to Arevis? What's
the connection? The fact that the Gemara says that what they were makabal on themselves then, first it says like they were makabal the bris, you know, that's multiplied and multiplied and multiplied, it's 2, it's 4, it's 8, it's 16, it's 48.
Okay.
And then what they were makabal with those 48 bris is to make sure that everybody does the mitzvahs. That's why we multiply by 600,000.
But again, where do you see that?
I mean, that you don't see in the Psukim.
Yeah.
You don't see that in the Psukim. But the Torah Shabbat Peh is telling us that that's what they will be in Makabal at Hargizim and Hadarival. That at that ceremony, which was a one-time ceremony, which we don't continue, so that's why the Rambam says it's not in the Hegel Sederis, but at that ceremony, Klal Yisrael was Makabal on themselves that we're going to be Achrayi for everybody else's mitzvahs also. So that's the Neheges the Day rights. That's what Rechem Shapiro says. That's the Neheges the Day rights of Brachos Klolis, the Hargrizim Har-Eval, when the earlier money and mitzvahs counted it. That's what they meant, because we learned from here the concept of Klolis Har-Evim Zelazat. So what does that mean, this concept? What does it do? So, like Donnie said, it's the basis for the union of Kiruv, that I have an achrayis not only to keep Hashem's mitzvahs, but to try to ensure or facilitate, enable, that everybody's keeping Hashem's mitzvahs. There are gemaras that talk about an idea of lafushime surah, that I have a responsibility to stop others from doing averis. It's interesting. I say responsibility. The Gemara really brings it out more in terms of a heter, because the Gemara is saying I'm even allowed to take liberties with other, or right, take liberties with other people's, what we would call nowadays, personal liberties. I'm allowed to infringe on other people's personal liberties. Lafrushi meisura. So the Gemara says, in Bava Kama Daf Chav Zayin, that if I see somebody who is, ordinarily, you're supposed to keep your hands to yourself, right? You're not allowed to use force to get make other people do what you want, but if you see somebody that's about to do an Aveira, the Gemara says you're allowed to use force to stop him from doing the Aveira. You're allowed to be mafresh him from the Aveira, using force. The Gemara in Brachis says, talks about being mazik mamin chaveira. It says that you're allowed to confiscate somebody else's property if he's doing an aveira with it. The example over there in the Gemara is that one of the rabbanim saw a yid that was wearing a garment that was not tsanua. So the rav went and took the garment away and tore it up. You're not allowed to take away somebody else's mamain. No, lafushimei sura. You're allowed. It also says legabe klayim, right? The Beis Din would go around and see if there was klayim growing in somebody's field. They wouldn't just give a drasha and shul or knock on his door and say, we really think that you should stop planting that. They would uproot the plants, which is mazik mamon chaveira, which is gezel, but lafushimei sura. That's allowed. So these gemaras talk about it in terms of it being mutter, to take liberties to violate other people's rights, la frusha mei sura. The basis of that is because Kol Yisrael Yevim Zel
Hazeh. Also, doesn't that tell you, it makes you be able to be mitzi someone with a mitzvah?
Ah, yeah, we're coming to that. Right. It's pulling out in a few minutes. But legabe this aspect, first, one very important caveat. There's a marshal in Baba Kama that says, okay, we have a bunch of Gemaras that say that if I see somebody doing an Aveira, I'm allowed to use violence, I'm allowed to use force, I could violate his personal rights, I could violate his property rights. It could very quickly start to turn into the Wild West. Everybody who thinks that he knows better than the next guy can decide where he wants to put everybody else in their place. And start beating people up because they're not keeping the mitzvahs well enough for his liking, or taking away people's property because they're not keeping the mitzvahs well enough for his liking. So he's a lashon that you place. I think his lashon is teres kalechad echad biyadoi. So the marshal says that this is not meant to be carried out by an ordinary person. It's only somebody that's mefursim b'chasidus, somebody who's. If I go over to the other person and he says, well, who are you to tell me what to do? If there's a clear, compelling answer to that, then you're allowed to do it. But if you can get into a back and forth squabble, I'm bigger than you. Oh, yeah, well, I say I'm bigger than you. Then stay away. Then you're not supposed to do this.
Not everyone can just become a kanoi on their own.
Right, right. And then the Meiri is Meiri that, what?
Tell that to a lot of people.
Yeah, indeed. The Lafushime Surah has some caution attached to it. Right. There's an eerie that says, really it sounds a little bit further than the Marshal, that this Indian of Lafushime Surah is a mitzvah based in. That it's not meant for a yachid altogether, without differentiating between mefurzim b'chassidus and not mefurzim b'chassidus. It's a mitzvah on basin, it's not a mitzvah on a yachid. But al kapanim, there is this concept of lafushi meisura, which is one aspect of the kol yisrael arevim zeh lazeh. That's the on the negative side. That's on the loisase side. It's like, yeah, I guess, you know, maybe on assays also, but I mean, that's on the negative, that if somebody's not behaving properly, so I have a responsibility to fix that. But then there's also, as Yanti pointed out, there's a nafkamina which maybe makes a bigger nafkamina in regular day-to-day halacha l'maisa, and that is the legabe fulfilling a mitzvah. If kol yisrael arevim zeh lazeh, I have a responsibility to fulfill your mitzvah, that means that my mitzvah is not, let's say, the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar. So I go to shul in the morning, I hear shofar. I was going to say my mitzvah shofar. Or so I think. But if kol yisrael arevim zeh lazeh, and I have 48 times 600,000 brisos, that means I wasn't really yotzei my mitzvah. I'm still in the parsha of the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar until everybody was mekayim the mitzvah. What's the nafkamina? That I could blow for them. Halacha l'maisa, the practical nafkamina, not the musr. Of course, you know, the musr shabbat is, yes, so you should go away, you should try to help others, you should try to bring them close to Torah and bring them exposure to the mitzvahs so that they'll want to do it, etc., etc. But halacha l'maisa, you have these, you know, yomtif afternoon tekiyah shofars, and you know, the people that didn't hear shofar in the morning because they were watching children, they come to shul, they're on a hatzalah call, so they come to shul in the afternoon to blow shofar. Who's blowing for them? The person that's blowing, he was already yaitzei. Now, an einei mechuyev bedavar can't be moitzi a mechuyev bedavar. That's the rule that we have in all the mitzvahs, that you have to be a mechuyev bedavar. Why are you a mechuyev bedavar? The Torah said you should blow shofar, you already blew shofar. You were yaitzei deichev asai. So why doesn't that take you out of the category of mechuyev v'davar? Zakh the Gemara, Shana Daf Chavtes, Kol HaMitzvah is cool, Kol HaBrach is cool, and the Gemara says actually, Aval Pisha Yatza Maitzi, even though you were already Yaitza, you could still be Maitzi. Others, Zakh Rashi, Lefisha Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Lazeh. That's because of Arvas. And the Ritva explains more. What does Rashi mean? That Arvas says that I'm still a mechuyev v'davar. Because I wasn't yotze dechevasai. I was to a certain degree. I heard the shofar, but if my personal chayva is that everybody should hear the shofar, then I wasn't yet yotze. So I'm still considered a mechuyev v'davar. So that's really the biggest and most relevant and frequent nafkamina from the concept of kol yisrael arevim zeh lazeh, that you can be mitzi other people in a mitzvah even though you were already yotze. A very shchiach tikkun nafkamina is with kiddush. If a person made kiddush, he could still make kiddush for somebody else. If somebody wants to do a chesed, stop by, go to a neighbor who lives alone, doesn't have a husband to make kiddush. So you go and you make kiddush for her. You could do that even if you already made kiddush in your house. Av b'shayatza moitzi. You could still make kiddush for her because your mitzvah of kiddush is that she should have kiddush too. So you see, even though you were ready, you could still be mitzi her. To invite her to your table and make a big kiddush for everybody, that doesn't have to go on to Arvas. For that matter, what we do, if you have a family, so in most households, one person makes kiddush and is mitzi all of his bnei bayis, that doesn't have to come on to Arvas. Because over there, if that's the first kiddush I'm making, so I'm still a mechuyev v'davar. In the full sense of the word, I didn't make kiddush yet. So of course I can be my bnei bayis. We all didn't make kiddush yet. But if I already made kiddush and then I go to somebody else's house to make kiddush for her, him or her, also that comes on to this chiddush of afal pisha yatza mitzi, which Rashi says is based on the idea of kol yisrael arevim zeh lazeh. Now the Gemara over there says there's an important distinction. Kol habrachos kulon afal pisha yatza mitzi. Which means that it's really only true for Birchas HaMitzvahs, but not Birchas HaNenin. When it comes to Birchas HaNenin, you can't be mighty others if you're not. Also, again, you could be mighty others. Right? By my Shabbos Suda, I make a hamaitzi for my whole family. I think that's a widespread minhag. Most people do that. The Baal Bayis makes a hamaitzi for the whole family. And that's fine. You could be mighty other people in a birchas hanenin, if you're also using that birchas hanenin. I'm going to eat challah now. I just washed for hamaitzi. I'm about to eat bread. I need to make a hamaitzi lechem and aretz for my achila, so then I can be maitzi other people also. That doesn't come on to arvus. That's not an afal pi sheyatza maitzi. But let's say I already made hamaitzi at my house, and then I say, oh, but my poor neighbor has nobody to make hamaitzi for her. So I want to go next door and repeat the hamaitzi lechem and aretz to be maitzi my neighbor. That I'm not allowed to do. I can't say a hamoitzi lechem and haaretz to be made to somebody else if I'm not also eating bread now. If there's no afapisha yatsa maitzi to be maitzi her when I'm not using it for my own mitzvah, for my own achila, that I can't do. Why not? Because that's not a birchas mitzvah, that's a birchas reshus. You could, even though I gave a little bit of a tricky example, yeah, it's a Shabbos Suda. Right. It's a Shabbos Suda, yeah, that's true, but...
The week can we do that?
No, Kol Shekein. That would have been a simpler example.
Right.
Right, the simplest example is, let's say right now, right? If I just made a shahakal on this, and then let's say somebody else wants to take a drink, right. So I say, okay, I'll make a shahakal and we might see you, so I absolutely cannot do that. Because since there's no mitzvah to make a shahakal, I guess this is also a little bit tricky. What do you mean there's no mitzvah to make a shahakal? I can't drink without making a shahakal? Yeah, but you don't have to drink. There's no mitzvah to drink seltzer.
With that too, though. So it's more, it has to be berachas mitzvah. Not a berachas ananin.
Right. That's the distinction. We don't say if it's berachas ananin, and the Rishonim explain because it's no mitzvah to drink the seltzer. We can say don't drink the seltzer, and then you won't need the bracha. It's true, you're not allowed to drink it without a bracha, and that in that sense it's a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah that I have to go and do. So there's no arvus on that. There's no. We can't say I'm still a mechuyav v'davar.
So if you make a havdalah for somebody,
yeah,
and you made a havdalah, you're making someone. Can you say b'samin bracha?
Good question. Could you repeat the besamim?
It's another smell.
I think so.
You could smell.
I think so, right? Because
you make a map.
Right.
Oh, okay. Even though you may just admit, okay.
Yeah, what if it was in the same place without a hasach hadas? Then could you repeat the besamim bracha? I think not. If you're going around the corner, so
it's a separate
yeah, that just like
just
if you
in the same room,
you know, if I'm eating potato chips over here and then I go around the corner, I need a new bar pri adama. Anyway. So if I smell besamim over here, then I go around the corner, I need a new bar besamim.
If you're in the same place, you should.
In the same place. I don't think so. Even though you can make havdalah, that relies on arvus. You know, I can't say for sure. Is there
usually that you're not having
is there a special, you know, I'll put that question on hold. It really comes in more to the next piece that we're going to talk about in the shir.
I was yet to shayfer in shul. I go home to bluff my mother, and I think I was told that she should make the brachas.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I make the brachas again?
I think you could. I think all things being equal,
Kitsa says that.
That she should. Right. It's preferable that she should. I'm trying to remember now why it's preferable, but I think it's clear.
Because it's a woman and a man. That's why the difference is. Because some people say they're not clear.
Okay. But I think, nevertheless, the halacha is.
If another man is there, I think
that
it's
you
easier.
That you could, if she's not able to make the bracha or willing to make the bracha, I think you could make the bracha for her. So by birchas hananin you can't, because there's no arvus, because there's no responsibility. When another yid is mechuyev in something, I'm mechuyev too. But the bracha on the seltzer, we say he's not mechuyev because he doesn't have to drink the seltzer. So then I can't be maitzi him. The Gemara calls that birchas alechem and birchas ayayin. It means all birchas ananin. I can't be maitzi other people in birchas ananin. But any brachas of mitzvahs, whether it means a birchas amitzvah, like you were just talking about the bracha on tekiyah shayfar, or a bracha which is a mitzvah, like birchas amazon or kiddush or havdalah, in all of those, I could be maitzi somebody else. But now, kiddush and havdalah become a little bit tricky, because kiddush and havdalah have a birchas hamitzvah or a mitzvah component, but there's also a birchas anen component. You need a bar pi agafen in the havdalah and in the kiddush. So the Gemara says that that you could be mitzi. That's an exception. The Gemara says there's a birchas hayayin, which is an exception, and also one birchas hamitzi, which is an exception. The birchas hayayin of kiddush, and I think it means and havdalah. Just picked one. And the birchas hamoitzi of matzah. Mm-hmm. Because over there, the achila is an achila shel chiyuv. He is chayev to eat the matzah, and he's chayev to say the kiddush. And since that needs a birchas anenin to go along with it, So that gets raised to the status of a mitzvah, and there's arvus on that. So in that instance, you could be might see somebody else in a birchas hanen, in the Rebbe Agafen of Kiddush and Avdallah, the hamaitzi that goes with the matzah, then because it's really a mitzvah, so you can be maitzi. But otherwise, you can't be maitzi in a birchas hanen. So here's when, Robert, you were ma'orer that the what about the besamim? That's what I'm wondering is that that's also a birchas hanen that's attached to Havdalah. Maybe it should be as good as Rebbe Agafen, but on the other hand, you know, maybe it's not as much a part of it. I don't know. That's a good shaila. We'd have to look it up. I'm not really sure. So in those cases, you're able to be mitzi in a birchas hanen. Otherwise, you're not.
What does that mean by achilas matzah? Because there's two brachas over there. There's achilas matzah and hamaitzi.
Right.
So both of them you can make for
The hamaitzi, that's easy. That you can for sure, even without this chiddush. Right. I already made a seder. So I finished my seder. And I'm going to somebody else's house. So it would go without saying that I could make another achilas matzah, even though I'm not eating now. I'll call Mrs. Kulon, I'll fish out hamaitzi. The chiddush of the Gemara is that I can even do that with the brach of hamaitzi.
And not eat.
Right. And even though I'm not going to be eating, I can make it. Right. Wow. Oh, but only one time a year. You can't do that with a Shabbos. That's why I started off with the Shabbos. I said it's not such a good example because it's a little confusing because you might say, wait, a Shabbos is also a mitzvah. I'm not. Right? It's not a Tuesday. It's Shabbos. I have to eat pas. But it's not a mitzvah on the same level. That doesn't rise to the level that it makes the hamaitzi into a mitzvah. And you can be might see somebody else in it. But matzah, which is a full-fledged mitzvah sachila, so over there, even the bracha on the matzah is raised to the level that I could be might see others in it. With the rule of Kol Yisrael Yom Zelzeh. Now, an interesting application of this is, what happens at a chasana? At a chasana, there's a birkas ha'irisin. Now, we have a birkas ha'irisin and a birkas ha'suin. And we make a bar pirag often by both of them. Which, okay, first of all, it's not a little bit of a strange thing that why we're making two Bar Pirag Ofens, one right next to the other. So that's really why we try to make a hefsek between them to justify the second Bar Pirag Ofen. That's why we read the Ksuba. If you ever wondered why we read a Ksuba by a chasana, it's not because it's an important document. It's certainly not because people have to hear what it says in the Ksuba. It's so that you can make a hefsek between the first Bar Pirag Ofen and the second Bar Pirag Ofen, and it has the chadas. And that justifies the second Bar Pirag Ofen.
And you can be mechabit somebody.
Right. It definitely comes in useful that way. Huh? Yeah. But that first Bar Pirag Ofen, so we is with the Birkas HaEirusin. Generally, we call it a Masada Kedushin, even though theoretically you think it's the Chasan's Bracha, but the Rambam says that that we usually call up somebody, you mechabit somebody else to make the bracha on behalf of the chassan and the kala, and that's because maybe not every chassan is gonna sound so impressive if he makes the bracha himself, and we don't want to ruin his big day, so we get somebody else to say the bracha for him. So we call up a rav. The rav says the bar pirag ofen and a birkas ha'irisin. And then he hands the cup to the chassan and to the kala, and they drink. Same as Kiddush. Now, that he's saying it, but he's not getting married, right? What's he saying a birkas ha'irisin for? No problem. He's saying it for them. It's a birkas ha'mitzvah. Is it mamash a birkas ha'mitzvah? It's not so clear, but it starts a shekin shanu mitzvahis v'sivanu ala arayis. So it at least resembles a birkas ha'mitzvah. So let's the Rambam says that what is happening at a chuppah is a real mitzvah, and that bracha is the birkas ha'mitzvah. So fine, we have a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavtes that says I can always be mitzi people in a bracha on a mitzvah because arvus kol yisrael arevim zelazeh. So the Masada Kedushin is an arev for the chasan and kala that he's helping them with their mitzvah of getting married, so he can make the bracha for them. Now, what about the Bar Pirag Ofen? Bar Pirag Ofen is a birkas hananin. The Gemara says you can't be mighty others in a birkas hananin if you're not drinking with them. The Gemara did make an exception for Kiddush and Avdallah. It's a Kiddush al-Bracha. That mitzvah goes with a Hagafen. The Bracha of Kiddush goes with the Hagafen. So you might be tempted to say the same thing over here. The Bracha, the birkas Eirsin goes with the Hagafen. The problem is, and this is the kasha, the Pnei Yeshua asks this kasha, Ksubas Av Zayin. Pnei Yeshua says, I don't know where this comes from, that a Birkas Ayerson goes to the Ber Piyagofen. I know why we make Kiddush with the Ber Piyagofen, because Chazal said so. Chazal told us very clearly in the Talmud Bavli that Zechreyu Alayayin. Some say that it's actually part of the Mitzvah Deiraisa, Zechas Mashavas Kachar, it's a Mitzvah Deiraisa of Kiddush, and there's some Bali Atesvis were of the opinion that the Mitzvah Deiraisa includes a cup of wine. Other Bali Atesvis disagreed, and the Rambam certainly disagrees. He says that it's only Drabbanon, but okay, but me Drabbanon, Chazal, you know, going back to the, even before the Talmud Bavli, it's in Brises, that you have to do it with a Ber Piyagofen, with a cup of wine. So that's attached to the mitzvah. The Birkas Ha'irisin, it doesn't say anywhere that it's done with a cup of wine. Now, the Pnei Yeshua says, of course, I'm not disagreeing. Every chasana I ever went to, they used a cup of wine. Every chasana that my grandfather ever went to also, it's been a mini Yisrael for day race. And the mini came about, no doubt, because people saw that by Kiddush, we use a cup of wine, it's chashivus. And a chasen is an occasion that you want it to make to be very chashuv. So at some point, Klal Yisrael on their own decided it would be a nice thing and an appropriate thing to use a cup of wine under the chuppah. Fine, no criticisms. But that is there a Klal Yisrael or Avim Zel is there on that cup of wine? If it's just a minute to say it, so it's not like Kiddush and Abdallah. In halachic terms, it's just a regular cup of wine. And a regular cup of wine, the Gemara says clearly that one person can't be mighty others on the bracha with the bracha on a cup of wine. So how's the Masada Kedushin being mighty the Chazan Kala in that Ber Piyagofen? Now, this kasha, the stakes over here, are really twofold. First of all, it's a problem for the Chazan Kala, because if he can't be mighty them, so they're drinking without a bracha. Mm-hmm. Here on the night of their chasana, when they're right, they just got a mechila for all their theirs. So is this? Are we giving them this for the first one? drink wine without a bracha? The rabbi with a long beard just made a bracha, but that bracha doesn't help for you. So they're drinking now without a bracha. Oh, and the other kasha is he's making a bracha of atala. Okay, for him it's not the first. It's not his first of the year. Okay, but
you know, but
wiped out. Well, that'll take care of the Chazan Kala's problem, but not the rabbi's problem. And he does it every night too, you know. So it's a twofold kasha: his bracha of atala, and they're drinking without a bracha. The Peshu says, I don't know. Maybe this gets involved with how strong minhagim are. Maybe if it's a universal minig Yisrael that we make this bracha with a cup of wine, and the only reason why we're drinking this wine is because we think of it as being part of the mitzvah, even though it doesn't really come from Chazal, but we think of it as being part of, maybe that's enough to put it into Klal Yisrael Reivim Zel Zeh. Sounds like a big chiddush to say that, but okay, he says maybe, and otherwise, v'tzarechion. He says, I don't have a better terrace than that. He says, you know, maybe you could say that the minig puts it into Kali Zohar Yom Zalzeh. Otherwise, it's really shver. This kasha, and it's a twofold kasha, the bracha v'atala on the part of the Chazan Kala, and the drinking without a bracha for the Chazan Kala, and the bracha v'atala for the Masad Kedushin. So, it's somewhat well known.
Maybe the Rav gets the Mechila Savayin and sells Arvus.
Okay. Yeah, that would help. So there's a little bit of like a open secret that there's a new solution to this problem that people have started to do in, I would say, the last maybe 150 years. I've heard it attributed to Reb Chaim. They say that this is Reb Chaim's idea. And the Talmidei Talmidei, and eventually that came to include basically everybody that's being without the Kedushin, is me Talmidei Talmidei of Reb Chaim. What Reb Chaim decided that we're not going to rely on this Pnei Yeshua, on this maybe of the Pnei Yeshua, that maybe the Midig makes it into a mitzvah. The Masada Kedushin has to drink. So I don't know if it says anywhere exactly what Reb Chaim did, but the widespread minhag by many daily Rashi Yeshiva was that they would try to do it in a sort of inconspicuous way, because the way the you know, the ceremony of the chuppah was expected to happen was that the Matzadik Hashem makes the bracha and then gives it to the chassan and then to the kala, and that's the way it had always been done for, you know, for generations and generations. So they didn't want to make any major departure from that. So what the Rabbanim started to do was see to it that a little wine dripped on their hand, shake the cup a little bit, or if the cup is filled all the way to the top, so even without shaking, when the after they finish the bracha and then the caterer comes, you know, to give the cup to the father, you know, to the chassan, so you're left with some wine on your hand, and then very inconspicuously, you know, just
make sure you're not on the video,
right? You know, very inconspicuously, just lick your hand, and with that, because bracha rishayna we say on a kol shuhu, right? Bracha achrayna is only if you drink a shir, but bracha rishayna is even on a tiny drop. So if you're gonna lick a tiny drop of wine off of your hand, that's also enough to make a bracha rishayna. So that's what many rabbanim do. Others, if you watch carefully, I think most chasanas that you're at.
Really?
That happens.
Yeah,
never noticed. That now, okay, I exaggerated the slurp a little bit, but yeah, I think many, many chasanas. So yeah, take a look next time you have a chasana. Okay, now it's almost Yontif. The wedding season is kind of over. I'm sure in the last couple of months you were at a lot of weddings. Trying to think of Chaim Yitzchak's chasana. Did we really do that? I don't remember specifically, but I would assume he did. Now,
I'm going to call him.
There is an alternative. So what some people do, they don't. What I've seen that some people do is that after the chasan kala drink, right, then the Masada Gushin takes it back, and then he takes a sip. Which seems like a simpler eitzah. Right. I'm not sure why everyone doesn't do it that way. Maybe because some people are concerned. You mean better let the kala be the third one that drinks and get all the germs.
Or pour it into somebody else. But why can he drink first? Like we always
are. Just take another
cup. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think unless I'm missing something, I think the answer to that is just that they didn't want to, you know, they didn't want to disrupt the way it had always been done. So therefore, they were trying to make this change kind of inconspicuously. I think, again, unless I'm missing something, but there are some rabbanim that'll just take the kais back after the chasan kala drink and take a sip. And that'll have the same effect. That'll justify the bar pig often. But one way or another, we've had a change in practice. The old minhag, and even nowadays, I'm sure there are some rabbanim that do it the old ways. It has not become universal. In yeshivish circles, this is the way it's usually done. But some rabbanim, and this is the old way, will just not drink. And we'll rely on, you know, okay, it's a kasher, you have a kasher, so I'm not sure what the teretz is. Maybe it's the ulai of the Pnei Yeshua. Maybe it's some other teretz, but if this is the way Klai Yisrael has been doing it for all these centuries, it's good enough for me. That's what many people will say. So there was an interesting debate about this among some Rabbani Yerushalayim, the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rav Zalman Sarutzkin, two of the G'dayli Rabbanim Yerushalayim. Rav Zalman Sarutzkin was very against this practice. And of the Masada Kedushin taking some to drink. I think what probably was motivating him primarily was that you're being Mishana the Minhag, and you're, you know, when you're Mishana the Minhag, you're also casting aspersions on all the people that came before you. Well, you think when the Chassam Sofer was Masada Kedushin, he was making a bracha vatala, when Rabbi Kiveg was Masada Kedushin, he was making a bracha vatala. That's the taina, you know, when somebody makes up a new practice. So Rav Zalman Sarutzkin didn't like this practice. But he was Ma'ir to Rav Shlomo Zalman, that, you know, here in Yerushalayim, the chasanas are, the chuppah is always outside on the street. And the Gemara says that you're not allowed to eat and drink in the street. Some of that is Oichel Bashuk is Daimel Kelev. So, okay, I'm not sure what else, the chasan kal are doing it. Okay, but maybe he felt that for Rabbanim, you know, to go tell the rabbanim that they should start drinking, you know, outside. So he felt that since we're outdoors, it's considered oichel b'shuk. So Shlomo Zalman said back to him, you know, this is not the only thing the Chazal said you're not allowed to do in the Shuk, eating and drinking. What else the Chazal say you're not allowed to do in the Shuk? Be Mekadesh and Isha. Rav Mangir, Aman the Mekadesh B'shuka. Rav would give Malkus to somebody that would be Mekadesh in the street. So, what are we doing here? there's a Kedushin, there's a Chasana. Elamai, we all understand that Rav Mangir, Aman the Mekadesh B'shuka means that haphazardly, you're just walking down the street and you say, oh, here I am Mekadeshly. But if you shtel avek this place to be a Chasana, that's not called a Shuk. So he said, I think the same thing is true for the eating. If we shtel davek that this is a place where we're making a kedushin, so then that's not called a oichel b'shuk either.
Right. And why is the wish of oichel b'shuk for the chasan kala drinking it?
So yeah, I assume that he, what he meant was that there should be a bigger concern for a rav. I think it's not a matter of is it a heter mamish. It's a matter of midos, of dignity, of tznius. So
since the minhag was not to do it, don't introduce something that's not
okay. Maybe
that's why by principle I'm not the Sala Kedushin.
Okay, but your former partners likes to be with Sala Kedushin all the time. Okay, now there's another interesting application of this halacha that there's a big debate in the Rishonim on the Gemara Brachas Daf and Ches, a very fascinating Gemara. The Gemara tells a story that Yanai was a king, and one time he made a big party, some state dinner, and then he said, okay, I need somebody to bench. Now the Gemara Brachas leaves out half the story. Says he couldn't find somebody to bench. It doesn't say the reason why he couldn't find somebody to bench is because he had already killed all the rabbanim. You have to always see the Gemara in Kedushin for that. The Gemara in Kedushin tells this, the dark side of Yanai HaMelech, that he killed out all the rabbanim because they weren't so happy that he was taking the kingship. They felt that he wasn't ready for it. And so he had them all killed except for Shimon Shetach, who was his brother-in-law. So he got hidden. And then, okay, that's all in the Gemara in Kedushin. But then the Gemara in Brachas says that one time he was making a state dinner and he couldn't find anybody that was able to bench. So he said to his wife, I need a rabbi. So she said, well, if I give you, I actually happen to know one, but if I reveal him, are you going to kill him? He said, no, I won't kill him. She said, okay, fine, here's meet my brother. Shimon ben Shetach. So he came out and the king said, okay, could you bench for everybody? So he said, oh, sure, you want me to say Nevarich Sha'achal Yanai Vachaverav Mishaloi Uvetu Vachayinu? Meaning, wow, we should bench without having eaten anything? So he said, okay, fine. So what do you need? So he said, I'll drink. He had given him a cup of wine to bench with. So he said, I'm going to drink this cup. He drank the cup, and then he said, okay, now we'll be to everybody in benching. And the Gemara says that was a big chiddush, that Shimon ben Shetach felt that a cup of wine is sufficient. We started an hour early today.
Everything builds up to the last 10 minutes anyway.
What was this Gemara? Brachas Memches. And the Gemara says that which Shimon ben Shetach relied on a cup of wine, that's a big chiddush. We don't hold like that. We hold that you have to have a kezayis dagon. And that's the bottom line of the Gemara. That if you're take away all of the drama of the story and everything, but the halacha l'maisa that comes out is that if you want to be mighty other people in Birkas HaMazon, you need to have eaten some bread. How much bread? A kezayis. In fact, Rashi Akasha, a kezayis of bread is only chayav in Birkas HaMazon midrabanan. The Torah says v'achal tov v'savata uverachta Hashem alekacha. So you only chayav in Birkas HaMazon midrabanan if you have a kedei sviya. Kezayis is less than a kedei sviya, but Rabbi Yehuda wants a kezayis, wants a kebetza, midrabanan. The Gemara says on Daf Chaf that when we say Yisa Hashem Panav Elacha L'malachem Seit Hakadosh Baruch Hu, I thought you're not allowed to be nice to Panav. Doesn't it say in the Torah Sher Lo Yisa Panav Leikach Sheichad? And Hashem says back, but how can I not be nice to Panav to Bnei Yisrael that I wrote in the Torah V'chalto V'savotu V'rechta and V'heim Medaktikim Al Atzmam Ad Kezayis Ad Kebetza. So when a person eats a kezayis, he's chayev and birkas hamazon midrabanan. So, Frecht Rashi Akasha, how could the Gemara say that the one that eats a kezayis can be moitzi everybody in Birkas HaMatzah, and he's only chayav midrabbanon? How could he be moitzi those that are chayav midaraisa? Rashi brings down that some people wanted to say that in Echanami, at that suda, everybody only had a kezayis, so everybody was only chayav midrabbanon. Rashi says it was a state dinner. Yanai was you know, feeding all of his ministers and head honchos. It's not mistaber that they were just eating a small amount, not a kedei sevia. So, Rashi offers a teretz, the Ramban offers a different teretz with big chidushim, but let's skip over those, because Tom doesn't allow. Which is jump to Tosfos. Tosfos says that the reason why you can be moitzi others in Birkas HaMazon Midei Raisa, even if you're not chayiv in Birkas HaMazon Midei Raisa, is because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. Mm-hmm. I could be moitzi you in your mitzvah, even though I don't have you ate a suda. You have to bench. I don't have to bench, but I have to. I'm responsible for your benching. So arvus makes it that makes me included in your mitzvah. Now this is a big jump from the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah said, "Afal pi sheyatza moitzi." I could be moitzi others in a mitzvah. I was already yaitzi. I already blew shofar in the morning. I can still be mitzi others in the mitzvah. I just made kiddush. I can be mitzi others. Over here, it's a mitzvah that I wasn't mechuyev in altogether. And one might have argued, as some argue against Tosfos, that this is really more daimeh to. There's a case. There's the Yerushalmi talks about by Mikra Megillah that a ben krach can't be mitzi a ben ir, and a ben ir can't be mitzi a ben krach because it's called an emi mechuyev v'davar. Because I don't have a mitzvah of reading Megillah on Tesvav. I have a Megillah of reading on Yudalit, a mitzvah of reading on Yudalit. So since I don't have your mitzvah, I can't be mitzvah in your mitzvah. And we don't say, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, because I'm only Arev for the mitzvahs that I have. But Tosfos is saying that, it's maybe a little bit of a fine distinction, that, yeah, if I'm a Ben Krach, so I read Megillah on Tesvav, Megillah on Yudalit, that's considered a mitzvah that I don't have. That's a different mitzvah. But Birkas HaMazon, even though I didn't eat a suda today, but Birkas HaMazon is still a mitzvah that I have. I'm a Bar Chiyuva in Birkas HaMazon. And since I'm a Bar Chiyuva in Birkas HaMazon, I have Arvas on Birkas HaMazon. And therefore, I can be mitzvah to you even if I didn't eat.
Birkas HaMazon is a Birkas HaNen or Birkas HaMitzvah?
It's a mitzvah. Not a Birkas HaMitzvah in the sense of like a, you know, like the bracha on the shofar. It's a bracha which is a mitzvah. The bracha itself is the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to bench.
Why can't the cotton be?
So which category is it in?
Arvus.
I make it its own category, but that's but for the sake of arvus, it's even better than a Birkas HaMitzvah. It's a mitzvah for arvus. That's the simplest case. But now the question though is that Tosfos gave a teretz as too good. We had a kasha, why would somebody be able to be moitzi everyone in benching if they only ate a kezayis? Either not chayav midaraisa. So Tosfos says, because arvus allows them to be moitzi even if you're not actually chayav to bench, you have a general chiv because kol yisrael arevim zeh l'zeh. So if that's true, so what do you need the kezayis for? Right. So Yanai should have been right. Right? Why can't you just say, you know, nevarech sheachal Yanai v'chaveirov?
We need more rabbanan.
Oh, okay, maybe. But the Gemara says that you need to have a kezayis dagon. What do you need that kezayis dagon for? So Tosfos says it's not really to get you into the mitzvah, but it's because the nusach that the mevarich makes is baruch she'achalnu mishaloi. You can't say she'achalnu if you didn't eat. It's the words are wrong. You can't say a lie. You can't say baruch she'achalnu mishaloi, and it could be that. That's Merumas in the Gemara. That's, you know, Shimon Shadach. Sounds like he was just like joking or being sarcastic. He says, what? I should say Baruch She'achal Yanai V'chaveirov. But according to Tosfos, he was saying the Lomdus. He was saying the reason why I can't bench is because the Nusach isn't right. I can't bench for you because the Nusach includes Baruch She'achalnu. And I can't say She'achalnu if I didn't eat. So give me a Kezayis Dagon, and then we can say that I ate. So then I'm included in the Nusach. But it's only to get him included into the nusach that we need that kezayis dagon. But else the arvus, you would have been able to be moitzi even without that, because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh.
No one knew how to bench.
That's a good question. What did it mean that he needed somebody to bench? Is it, I don't know, is it possible to read the Gemara that he wanted to be mechabi, he wanted somebody impressive and important, so he wanted a rabbi.
He was a king.
And
you obviously care about rabbis.
Or is it pshat that he literally, there was no one there that knew how to bench. You have to remember that this is back in the time that nuschois were a little bit more fluid and they didn't have sidurim, so maybe you really needed an expert. I don't know. That's an interesting aspect of that Gemara.
Someone that didn't wash, sitting at a table,
right.
He can't answer. Rosh Hashanah Mishalo.
Right. There's a different nusach that he answers. If you're at a table where people are benching bezimun and you didn't eat, so you know what you're supposed to say, baruch. Baruch umavaruch shmoit tamid. Is that the nusach? Hold on a second.
But you can't answer shachal.
You don't say baruch shachalnu. You say
baruch she'ela achlu.
I'm not sure I'm remembering the nusach exactly. I think it's Baruch Umavaruch Shemoy Tamid Leilam Vaed. But there's a special nusach. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Maybe some Siddurim have it. You don't see it often in Siddurim. But there is a special nusach that you say if you at a zimun, but you didn't eat. You can't say Shachalnu. I want to add one last point. There's an interesting case that is actually Rabbi Kivay. I recently saw Rabbi Kivay clears this shayla. I had the shayla before that based on Tosis, that you can have an arvus, even if it's not exactly the case of the Gemara, the Alpha Bisha Yotza Moitzi. It's not that I was Yotze. I don't have the mitzvah. But under other circumstances, I would have this mitzvah. If I had eaten a suda, I would have this mitzvah. So that puts me into the category of arvus. So how about the following case? You made early Shabbos. And you come home, you have a mitzvah of Kiddush. Your neighbor is still driving and vacuuming his house. Could he be moitzi you in Kiddush? I don't know how to make Kiddush. I need somebody to make Kiddush for me. Could my neighbor, who was not Makabel Shabbos, so on the one hand, it sounds very much like that Gemara in the Yushalmi and Megillah, then Krachman, here, he's not a Mechuvadever in this mitzvah. On the other hand, maybe we should say that since on Shabbos he makes Kiddush, so he's chayav in Kiddush the same way I'm chayav in Kiddush. And Rabbi Birkas HaMazdain, even someone that didn't eat a suda would be able to be Maitzmi, except for the problem that he can't say Shachalnu. But let's assume that's a side problem, which you don't have over here. Maybe somebody who...
Why is it different than the Megillah? The Krach?
Because if I'm a Ben Ear, I can't... I'm not going to read on your Dalit. I don't have a mitzvah reading on your Dalit.
Just like you have this guy has
Shabbos.
No, but he's going to have.
It's not a different shot. You mean like the Ben Ear is going to have a mitzvah Megillah tomorrow, and this guy also is going to have a mitzvah in an hour. But the tomorrow is really different, you know. Like the Gemara says, Ein Zman Shalzeh Kizman Shalzeh. Those are two separate mitzvahs. Over here, I was Mekabel a little bit earlier, but we're both Mekadosh the seventh day. So he has the same mitzvah as Kiddush that I have, which is mine was Chal a little bit earlier. But it's much more, but maybe you're right. In a sense, it is similar to that. I think Rabbi Kivager mentions that. Rabbi Kivager says that maybe we should consider it like the Ben Ir and the Ben Krach. Or maybe not. And I don't think he brings in the Tosis in Brachas. But that's the maybe not is to say that this is more like the Birkas HaMazon. That because since if I would have a suda, I would have to bench. That puts me into the Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh L'Zeh. So if I was Makabel Shabbos, I would have a mitzvah of Kiddush now. Maybe that's also enough to put him into the category of Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh L'Zeh. So that Rabbi Kivager, you know, raises the shayla, leaves it as a tzarachion. We'll end off with that.
It's his Kiddush.
Yeah.
It's his Kiddush.